Hello friends and welcome to the podcast. My name is Chris Grant, Partnerships Manager here at Digital Construction Skills. And today I'm absolutely delighted to be joined by Lorna Hagen, Director of Construction Tuition. And today we're going to talk about quality in construction, the ISO standards, and why digital tools and technology can have such an important role to play in raising standards, and how they can help SME construction businesses specifically to reduce their wastage, improve their profitability, and to become more efficient. So Lorna, you're very welcome. How are you?
I'm good, Chris. Thanks for having me on today.
Oh, geez, it's great to have you, Lorna. So Lorna, just before we go on to talk about quality itself, let me just tell people about your background. You know, tell us where you came from, what you are, what you do, and why you decided to set up Construct Tuition.
Yeah, well, I suppose my background is I'm a civil engineer, so I studied at the University of Ulster Jordanstown, and I've spent my entire site career, well, the majority of it based on site, so that was either as a site engineer up through to sort of site agent level. Then I specialised in quality, so I've really been doing quality as a specialism since about 2009. So lots of really big, really interesting projects. And as I say, the majority of the time I was site-based. I suppose why Construct Tuition came about was I seen that there was a real need for training and development in that sort of area of quality. If you imagine the amount of resources and training and effort that goes into managing health and safety and environmental issues, and I fully believe that the same amount of effort should go into managing quality, because it has a big impact on actually how well the projects are delivered. It has a big impact on customer satisfaction, and it really has a big impact about improving your profit margin and reducing the errors on your project. So that's what we're here to do. We're here to help companies do all of those good things.
Lorna, can you give us an overview of the main ISO standards then that relate to construction quality and site? Let's start at the beginning here. You know, why are they important and what key benefits do they bring to a business?
Okay, so the main standard that Construct Tuition is concerned with would be ISO 9001. There's obviously 45001 and 14001, which would be the health, safety and the environmental standards. But really what we want to focus in on is that 9001 and how it can help your business moving forwards. So I suppose the idea of 9001 is that it looks at total quality management, everything from the leadership team right down to how you control quality on site and quality inspections. It looks at things like reporting defects, and really it's the emphasis of 9001 is around that plan, do, check, act cycle, and that's what we want to see on projects. We want to see continuous improvement, and we want to see, is there a plan in place? So I suppose in the construction world we're talking about project execution plans, project quality plans, inspection and test plans, then acting on it, actually carrying out those inspections, checking on it, which would be actually carrying out those inspections and checking, are the products right, or is what we're delivering correct? And then I would sort of say the act is also things like testing. So are we having UCAS accredited testing going on? What's the results of those things? How do the products that we build look like? So even other things such as great performance standards, such as air quality testing, how airtight are the actual building that we're constructing? And then I suppose the last cycle, and one of the most important ones and the ones that really make a big difference on thing, is acting. So whenever something either goes wrong or something's really good, we take those great lessons that we've learned and we put them back into the cycle and we add them to our plans moving forwards, and we do something about it. And it's a continuous process, so I suppose you go round and round until you get the perfect product. But yeah, I think yes, that's not going to happen anytime soon, so I think we're going to be following that loop for a while yet.
So really, I suppose, you know, yourself, myself, you know, we came from big contractors probably in the background, and it's always been drummed into us quite rightly as well in most of our career. But what about the smaller businesses? Should they be bothered about an ISO certification, or is it just for the, you know, the companies that we maybe worked for in the past? What do you think?
I think the standard you should apply to everything that you do in life. I think that standard of continuous improvement that I talked about earlier, and when you think about our daily lives, it's stuff that we're always doing, you know, we're always trying to make things better and improve things in for ourselves. So I think it applies to everyone holistically in that respect. But I think certainly SMEs, a real good piece of research that was recently released by the Get It Right Initiative. So they're sort of associated with the Institute of Civil Engineers, and they looked at how much does quality actually cost the construction industry. And they were saying it was up to 21% of the cost of a project was spent on quality. And they have it really sort of broken down into four bunkers in that sense. So they have latent defects, indirect costs, things like process waste, so rehandling of materials and issues, and then direct costs. So all of those four together make up that 21%. But I think if you can just focus on that direct cost, so that's 5%. Now I know profit margins in most construction jobs are maybe, you're doing well to get 3%. 5% would be fantastic. So look, if you could even cut 1% off that number, and that's the really known number, the really easy to calculate number, you would make a huge difference on the bottom line of your business. And I think SMEs can't ignore that as an issue. And for any business owner, why would you want to? You would want to be looking at those areas. There's also the benefits of, if you imagine what we're trying to do here is reduce waste. So we don't want to build stuff twice. We don't want to knock stuff down. And you have to think of that in the environmental sense of things as well, with, you know, COP26 coming up and carbon initiatives. What we don't want to do is we don't want to be wasting raw materials. So as a sustainability side of things as well, it's really important that we're reducing that overall waste going forward as well.
Yeah, so again, I mean, that's one of the points of this podcast, Lorna. We talk a lot about, you know, how construction businesses can use technology and digital tools to improve that business performance to achieve this type of thing. So maybe can you give us a couple of examples there where digital tools can be used specifically to help this ISO certification, to get us onto that road to helping with the reducing the cost? And maybe just take it from a document management point of view, because I know we're going to talk about the site stuff, the good stuff, in a wee bit later.
Yeah, absolutely. So even if you look, there's a major section of 9001 that looks at document management and making sure that we have the right information available to the right people at the right time. And it's all very clear and open and in an honest environment. And to be honest, a piece of paper sitting on anybody's door is never going to be that open and honest environment and regularly auditable. So by having collaborative systems for document management, it's great in that sense. It provides a repository where everybody can log in and be sure that it's the right information and they have the most up-to-date information. It also provides that great audit trail, so it says who did what when, and that's really invaluable. You see, when you actually go to, you know, carry out your certification audits against 9001, that's the sort of information they'll be looking at. But I suppose from a process waste point, you need to look at it as well, because if you imagine, what would you do without the digital system? You would have a very human-centered process, and you would have Excel registers managing all sorts of things. So you're adding in points of error all the time along that process. So you're expecting the human to be right all the time, which is not necessarily going to happen. And then you're also expecting the person, you know, filling in the registers to be motivated enough to keep them up to date on a consistent basis moving forwards. My approach is, if a machine can do it, if it's going to be more efficient, let's use a machine and let's use one of those collaborative management systems for especially like document control. It's an easy win. There's no reason people shouldn't be using it.
Yeah, and I guess that's even the building blocks then for, like, you know, what we talk about when you win a bit more like the common data environment, isn't it? So it's like, it's kind of almost like the first kind of foundation you would put in before you start thinking about maybe building onto that. But that's how I would see it anyway, yeah. But yeah, you're definitely right. Human nature, and being there myself and a site manager, you know, and you get other priorities as well. You all the best will in the world, unless you're diligent, you know, errors can happen. So if you can use a machine to do that, yeah, absolutely. So yeah, it's a good point that you made there, Lorna. So what would I say then? So in terms of this ISO accreditation then, Lorna, what would be the first thing, you know, a company should do to actually just go on the journey?
Well, whenever I suppose I go in to help any company, what I would really, what I probably would love to say would be that that company has some sort of strategic mission or vision. So that's where the leadership team says, this is what we want to do. So the business owners or the directors, and they say, this is what we want to live by. And that's the founding block of, I suppose, this ISO accreditation. And the starting point would be it, and it would be you write a policy. So your policy, rather than it being stuck in a wall on every site and probably meaning very little, nobody reads it, it should be the sort of manifesto for that company to say, this is how we truly believe in managing quality within our company, and this is how we're going to deliver against it. And then what I like to see is, moving on from there, you start to move it through and step it down. So you would have like end-to-end business processes that would support those mission and vision moving forwards. And it's great for, I suppose, business continuity, but also a lot of times you see companies wanting to move into the getting their certification because they're on a business growth trajectory. And usually business growth, especially in the SME world, is you maybe have had, you know, a construction company that, let's say, started off building houses, and then they have a few, you know, bigger sort of commercial properties going on, and then they're just getting bigger and bigger, and they want to start working in that, I suppose, government funded environment, and that's the place where they're going to have to tender for jobs, and they're going to need those ISO accreditations. So they're really on that trajectory for business growth. But if you imagine the day-to-day workings of that, is you have a core team of people in your company, but you're going to have to expand, you're going to have to hire more people. And by creating these great set of processes that match how your business delivers and your overall ethos, that provides you with the framework for bringing new people in. So this is how we do procurement, here's the process, this is how we manage quality on site, and here's the process. So it's a really great training tool and a really good basis of how you move your business forward. So what I would say is, create that, you know, sort of create the existing, and then once you get that up and you get it working and it's right and it's right for your business, then you can look to really capture efficiencies and move forward. So then you can look to refine the process and sort of use lean tools and techniques to try and find out, right, where is the waste going on, how can we make this better. But that's, I suppose, that's the approach that I like to see, and that's how I would help my clients develop moving forwards.
Right, so effectively a good document framework that you can build on, and then, you know, once you get that foundation in place, it's easy to add on. The other way around is a bit more difficult. You're chasing your tail, and you maybe have a lot of mistakes before, you know, you've maybe thought about them in advance, I guess, a lot of that time, because you're thinking the vision in the future, I guess.
That's it, and digital tools have a part in all of those processes from end to end. So whether you're using CRM at, like, you know, a business develop and end of things, whether you're using let's say small plant and equipment tools, survey equipment, if you're using apps to track where they are on site, non-hire and off-hire, there's points throughout that whole business process where digital tools come in, and I am all for them, because look, what I said earlier about the document management, same thing, if there's people not having to do registers, and if there's a machine doing it for it, you're less likely to error. And then when you go to use those sort of lean tools and techniques going forwards, you have the data, you have the information from all those specialist pieces, you know, of digital tools throughout that process. So it's really good in that respect.
Sure. Brilliant. So Lorna, I know you've kind of maybe went through this a little bit already, but I'll ask the question anyway. So, you know, my next question was really about, you know, your approach to this process, you know. Mm-hmm. You've talked about the finding the company vision, maybe a business plan, that type of thing, you know. But how long then would you, you know, take us through the process, and how long would you typically work with a company? You know, if you're starting from scratch there on an ISO accreditation, maybe for a kind of, you know, that type of house builder who's moving up in the world, you know, how long does it take to implement that from scratch? You know, what's the process? Talk us through that, could you?
I would love to say this is the definitive answer, but I think it's one of those things. It's a bit of an if and a but, and a if you do this, that's the sort of answer. So there's a few multipliers in this. I would say short term, you know, you're talking 6 months realistically. So that's about you know, putting the vision in place, getting all of those processes together. Now, it's not full time because, look, there's usually a business that's ongoing, so we're not going to stop everything, but, you know, it's a sort of part-time process. But over 6 months is probably about the right amount of time where you go in and you can take each of those phases, and then certainly it gives you an opportunity to test the processes and make sure that they're okay before you, I suppose, roll it out wide scale to your business, because business change is difficult. It's really hard and people don't like change. And what you want to do is you want to make sure that what you're building is something right for that business, right for the culture of the business, but also that there's the least amount of change possible. So you want to have something really good, you have it tested, and then I suppose you release it and move it forwards. But I sort of like to, you know, at least have like a follow-up at the end of that 6 months, because I think that's really when you can get involved in, let's say, like business improvement and really sort of leaning out the process. But the thing that would happen throughout this is what we're doing is we're building capability. So we're going into a business and we're saying, rather than them being solely reliant on us moving forwards, we are developing their team. So they have their in-house expertise within ISO 9001. So when the auditor comes, they know what they're doing. They have it going forward. So although, you know, we offer a service, it's more than that. We're providing like training and coaching and I suppose a bit of mentoring as we go along. And that's what I found. Look, I've worked in quality for years now. So what's that? About 12 years. And like my last role, I had a team of 10 people working for me at one stage. And you see, to hire a ready-made quality manager in construction, it is like the unicorn. There's very few that exist that is like the civil engineer that has experience in construction. And what we did is we used to bring people in from probably a wee bit of a different background and train them up. And, you know, it was a mentoring process as opposed to like a formal educational process. So we had guys from the telecommunications industry. We had ones that have moved in from materials test. And that's, I suppose, what I've done here is I've cherry-picked the best of that sort of mentoring and support. And that's what we would provide to businesses moving forward.
So again, it's about giving them the skills that they need to drive it themselves, basically, Lorna. It's not about, you know, you're not a magic bullet. You don't come in one day, wave a magic wand, and then you go away again. And yeah. It's a process, isn't it? And, you know, you're giving them the skills. And again, that's maybe something we'll talk about now a little bit, you know, because another key focus of your business is that about getting the quality right inside. So mm-hmm. Can you tell us a bit about this? You know, who do you typically work with and what do you do? And what are the most common challenges that you face?
Yeah, so I suppose one main section of the business is we do provide that consultancy support for businesses wanting to either improve their quality system or, you know, maybe get through their ISO accreditations if they don't already have them. But some businesses have them and they just want to make things better within their business, so that's great too. The other side of the business is we offer training courses. So they are aimed in three real areas. So we look at the culture of quality. So that's aimed at the senior leadership team. So that's about, what are you saying to your site? Are you saying that job must be delivered, you know, on time, no matter what? Knowing full well, you're going to be revisiting it for the next 3 years, you know, managing latent defects. Let's be realistic here. You need to be going in there with the right attitude. And what we find is where the culture's not right in the business, it's usually they haven't explained to people where the business beliefs and true priorities actually lie. So it's about not letting people make that decision purely off their own sort of moral standing, but saying, no, this is where the business believes we should be going with this. So that's what the cultural one's about. It's really fun. It's engaging. There's a lot of discussion that goes on in it.
Can I imagine?
It's quite in that respect, but it's good because the output of that, is, and that's what I'm very keen on, is having a tangible output for everything. I want you to be able to do something the next day after having been on the course. So the output from that would actually go into your management review meeting. So whenever you get your ISO audit, they'll say, you know, as a management team, how have you looked at the culture of your business, or how has the leadership done it? And what we'll do is there will be a summary sheet of this is why the leadership believes. So there's a good output which serves a purpose somewhere, either in the ISO audit or somewhere else. We then have another course which looks at the nuts and bolts, the nitty-gritty of like quality assurance on site. So this is inspection and test planning and non-conformance. And based on my experience, everybody nearly cringes whenever somebody asks for an inspection and test plan. I suppose a lot of people don't know how to do it. They don't know where to start. And what our training course does is we explain the why do you need it in the first place, because that's probably a big thing. Look, I've built it like this for 25 years. Why are you getting me to write down why I need to build it? But my stance on the whole thing is you write a method statement to keep people safe while they're building the building for maybe a couple of weeks. That inspection and test plan is keeping the people that occupy that building safe for the next 20 years. So you need it. It's very important. And this is, you know, this is why we build it. Same thing, you should come out of it with a draft inspection and test plan. So you should come out of it being able to start your journey on being an inspection and test plan author. And then the last one will be quality control skills. So this is aimed at those people, I suppose, that are site-based, maybe people new to the industry, or maybe people just wanting to improve their skills. And what we'd call this is quality control inspecting skills. And that's about giving the right key skills to the right people at the right time. So we found whenever I worked, the previous company I worked for, we were getting an awful lot of errors in concrete, like quite a large number. And when we actually looked at where it was coming from, we found that it was those younger, more inexperienced members of staff that just didn't have the right skills. We were probably sending them on the wrong courses, actually. So we were sending them on leadership and management courses, but they didn't know what good concrete looked like, or they didn't know why it was important to make sure they made a concrete cube correctly or review a test result. Really fundamental things to make you good at your job at a site level. So what that our courses do is it teaches you those things directly. So what does good concrete look like? Those sorts of information. And as I say, with the previous company, we had a look at it, and from the frequency of non-conformances we were having prior to the training, you know, we were having a non-conformance, I think, every 5 days. And then we did the training. We had a look at the frequency after, and it had reduced by 75%. Now, if you wanted to monetize that, and we could, because in fairness, within that business, it was very digitally savvy. We had this information. There was iPads on site. They were recording the inspections, and we had all of this great data to analyze and give us this information. But when you looked at that, we were able to say a concrete NCR cost us on average £5,000. And by reducing it by this frequency by 75%, we saved £155,000 in 6 months. And that's
incredible.
Great motivation for any business leader to, you know, follow this training on going forward. And I suppose, you know, I've seen firsthand the difference that makes. Yeah, it makes a great difference to bottom line, but probably one thing that struck me personally was, do you see those guys actually having the confidence of being able to ask those questions and understand what's going on? Because a lot of people, I suppose, they come out of university and people expect them to be experts in what they're doing, and they're really not. They're really not taught that sort of information. And just to be able to say, look, I'm not sure what the answer is. How do I do this? Or, and then on the reverse of that, yes, it's really cold today. It's under 5 degrees. I know from that course how I should approach this concrete works today, because, you know, I've been told this is what happens in the common time. So being able to see those people new to the industry really embracing the training and having confidence in that role, it's great. And the feedback from them is great on those courses, because they're saying, you know, I should have learned this as soon as I came out. Why don't they teach this in university? And that's great reinforcement for us.
We see a lot of parallels there with like the setting out training that we do in the other part of our business as well. You know, I think there's an assumption that everyone can set out, or you know, everyone just knows it just like that. You know, but it's great that you've mapped them skills and them core competences. That must be add a lot of value to the companies that you work with, then, Lorna. You know, and you're seeing that metrics between, you can say, well, we've done this, and here's even a number. It's even better when you get a number against it, because sometimes it's very hard to measure to show the value of a training session and then a direct output. So that must be adding a lot of value. So that's tremendous. Brilliant. And is any other digital tools that you came across, or would that be the, you know, was it the analytics? How did you measure that? So just maybe talk about that concrete job. How did you go about doing that? Was it just using the existing inspection and test plan system you had in place and you measured and monitored, or how did that work? Just maybe tell us a bit more about it.
Yeah, so I suppose the world of quality metrics, there's probably a race to the Holy Grail going on at the moment. So everybody wants, if you can imagine the AFR, the accident frequency rate, but the quality frequency rate, nobody has a name on this yet. So certainly in the UK, all the big clients want something that they can benchmark across all industries. And there is, between the nuclear industry and transportation sector, certainly in the civil engineering and big government schemes that are out there, I have been involved in these. And what they're looking at is they're looking at actually how often do things go wrong, and what can be improved from there, and you know, how to help contractors improve their quality across the board. So with that in mind, that's probably one output of this, and that's something everybody's is the big guys are certainly going for. But if you imagine 80% of the work that those, let's say, tier one contractors are doing, that's within the supply chain. So that's within the SMEs. So they subcontract out 80% of their work. So there's great scope for SMEs to actually get involved here. And it would be great scope for SMEs to have a competitive advantage, because the way that main contractors work going forwards is they are helping their clients perform against, I suppose, their key performance indicators. So certainly if there was an SME who was very knowledgeable, who implemented digital tools to be able to record and track their quality, they would then be helping the main contractors, actually with their role. So it certainly is something that SME should be looking at, you know, to try and gain a competitive advantage and really, realistically, be working in probably the most profitable and the best sectors to be working in, and that's what you want to be. You want to have that choice rather than get what you're given type of scenario. You know, you want to pick the best clients to work for and move forwards that way. So I suppose from a ground level up, what we had seen was the likes of using data capture, so things like on iPads for recording inspections. So right down to the simple thing. So, you know, you're going to pour a concrete wall. Is the wall plumb? Is the shutters there? Has the reinforcement been tied? All of those good questions all provide answers. They all provide data. So what we would have looked at is the content of the question, but we also would have looked at, you know, how many are responded to positively and how many are responded to negatively. So that gives us a sort of indication of actually how many times are we getting that wrong in that site, and do we need to intervene and, you know, make a step forward. So certainly from a data point of view, having some sort of data capture tool, so whether it's on iPads or Androids, but look, there's loads out there, you know, to name a few. There's Autodesk, there's Procore, there's Zootech has a good product. There's lots of different products out there on the market that do this sort of data capture on an ongoing basis. So what we'd say is have a look, capture the data, number one, to start off with if you're new to this, and then sit down and have a look and say, right, we have all this data. What is our company alignment with this? What are the useful parts of data moving forwards, and what can we actually use it to make a trend? Because that's what you want to do. You don't just want to measure it as a single set. You want to see, how am I this month compared to last month or last year, and try and predict, you know, your future position with regards to that. So I think it's really important to go out there, try the tool, capture the data, and actually, you know, get involved. But there's lots of things that needs to be in there. You need to get employee buy-in on it, because wouldn't it be great, but like the robots on site's probably pretty expensive still, and we're not quite there yet on every job. Yes. I'd love to say we are, but we're not. So you usually still have to have a human, you know, involved in it, and that's managing change, and that's managing, I suppose, hearts and minds. But there's great benefits. So whenever you usually, like certainly my experience of implementing digital tools on the first job, it's a wee bit hard and it's a bit painful, and people don't want to do it because it's not what they're used to doing. But you see, on the second job that they come to, they usually say, do we not have that? Where's the iPads? Why is this not doing here? You know, they've been won over by the system. So I think there's that realization that people will be on a journey with this. It will be hard, and you do need that leadership commitment in the hard times to push it on forward and make sure and say, no, we're doing this. This is the right thing for our business. And here's the rewards. And explain those rewards back to the team and the benefits from it.
Sure. Now, you're right. I would love to hear of someone who's actually said that digital's not for them, and they've just, you know, when they've actually went on the digital tools, when they went on the digital journey. I don't think as many went back to paper yet.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I would welcome that challenge from anyone to tell me otherwise, you know. Mm-hmm. But just one thing I was going to pick up on you there. You were talking about the questions and the form. Was that like a digital format, and then was that going into some sort of Power BI or some analytics, or how did that work? Just to clarify, so it was like some kind of job management software or whatever, BIM 360 Field or something like that.
Yeah.
And then that just connects to like a Power BI type thing, and then you just can make data decision making. Is that essentially what you mean there, Lorna?
Yeah, sorry, that's was the scenario. So what we used was BIM 360 Fields loaded onto iPads on site. So the site engineer was recording the information applicable to them. So they were recording, is the shutter straight, is the concrete right, those sorts of questions. And then the team from the quality department, they were able to then pull that data from the cloud, but they were able to pull it from every site, so across, let's say, 17 sites, and actually look at the data and see, is the concrete right on every site? And, you know, where is the issues? Okay, and what we did is we pulled the data, we actually put it into Microsoft Power BI to actually analyze the data and provide the reporting format. And the good thing about that is we provided those reports to the senior leadership team and made it really visible. So we just had three KPIs. We didn't overcomplicate things. We had said, you know, the number of times we experienced an error, we had customer satisfaction, and we had the number of NCRs open and closed. So very straightforward, high-level KPIs, but there was a lot of data sitting in behind if you wanted to analyze sort of further what exactly was going on. And us being the quality team / quality nerds, we loved this because we could see go down to a really, really granular level of what exactly was going on. But the great thing about it is it was done through an API in the end. So what it was it was able to suck the data out of one area. Power BI was able to talk to Autodesk, and it just moved straight in from one to the other. So yeah, it was a really quick process, and I think whenever we actually calculated the time saving, it was something crazy. Like, rather than the sites actually having to sit down and fill in a monthly return, they didn't do anything. All they did is said, yes, that concrete was correct. They didn't have to fill in a register, a report, any of that sort of thing, or returns on that. And we had a look at it, and I think it was 2,088 hours is what we saved in a month by just extracting the data that already existed. So we compared it to the standard version of where you would have to write it in a piece of paper, fill it in a register, return the register and the hours that were involved and sort of that data capture. Because we actually had one project which was the use of digital tools was banned on. So in some way it was actually quite a good control. It was within the nuclear environment, so they just didn't want digital tools being used there. And it was a good control sort of sample to go on, because you were able to see sort of, let's say, the efficiencies against the inefficiencies. So it was a good standard to benchmark it across. But we reported the dashboard went to the senior leadership team. It went to the management review meetings. It showed our performance against our KPIs. But even better, we also sent it back to the projects. So with those jobs, they would have to report on progress monthly. So we sent them their project-specific quality dashboard, and they were able to put that in their monthly project report. So that really benefited them. So rather than them having to run about and gather the information and put it in a report, they could literally just attach the PDF, you know, as an appendix to their monthly progress report. So it got them on board with that too, which was really good.
That I can imagine that would be a godsend, you know, for any site manager. Anything you don't have to do twice, or you're capturing the data once, and you don't have to, you know, I can imagine you fill in your forms and you file them all away, and then dig them back out again, and an auditor comes along. But if you're doing that as you go along, this is the beauty with this whole system. And then the company as well is getting that assurance that at a company wide, because you're drawing that in from all them sites into one place and seeing the trends, which it must be just so advantageous for even senior decision makers there to really know what's going on in their business a lot more, you know, which is great. Lorna, that was some really useful insights there, really, to see how it actually works in practice. And so, brilliant. So the probably even after all that, there will be still companies that will still be resistant to get external support. So how do you overcome this, Lorna? What would you say to other companies that might be reluctant to reach out, you know, that maybe need this external support, they don't have it? So what would you say to them?
I would say, look, at the end of the day, you're probably going to... I've spent 18 years in the industry, and I actually gave a training course in this the other day, and I explained the construction industry like athletics, like hurdle racing. Okay, so across my 18 years of a career, I have came across many of a hurdle. I have been knocked back, learned something new, climbed over it, and moved forward. So across that span, I've learned an awful lot of information, and I have a real expertise, I suppose, in not only, you know, performing at a site level quality, but also, you know, looking at it as a total business approach and in that sort of holistic view. And I think by employing a consultant like me, or in fairness, any consultant, what you're realistically doing, that consultant's coming in there and they're using their experience and their knowledge to help you reduce the height of your hurdles moving forward. So they're pulling them down. They're saying, right, I ran into this. Don't you run into this. This is how we're going to move forward. And that's what you're really getting. You're getting a fast track to success. Yes, there's nothing wrong with your business doing it, you know, yourself, and you creating that in-house capability. But certainly from my experience, yes, there's going to be more hurdles and they're going to be higher. So if it was me going back to do it again, I would certainly, you know, get a consultant involved and use their wealth of expertise. And you know, it's a great sounding board for what do you think of this idea, or how do you think that will work? Because chances are they'll have experienced them in the past, and they'll be able to give some, you know, good tips and pointers and things moving forwards. The other good thing, I think, is there being a framework and it being time dependent, and it also not utilising all of your company's resources. As I said earlier, you know, even when bringing in ISO 9001, no company stops for 3 months to bring in ISO 9001. Yeah. There's a business to run, there's money to make, and you have to, you know, bring in 9001 as well. And I think by having somebody else, I suppose, leading the charge on that, sort of pushing everybody along and getting them involved throughout it and developing their capability is really beneficial for any business moving forwards. And look, you're going to reap the rewards on... You're going to, you know, by what you'll achieve, you'll either, hopefully within the quality environment, you'll either reduce your spending on waste, you'll improve your reputation, you get your ISOs, you're going to be able to bid for bigger work, you're going to have the right framework for business growth. So, yeah, I think it's, if you want the fast track to it, bring a consultant in.
I would say get the right consultant, but also, I mean, the thing is, most people like yourself, I'm sure, you just lift the phone and have a half an hour discussion, and you know, if it's the right fit, and you ask the right questions, you'll get a good vibe from even just that, you know, wouldn't you? I would say, you know,
absolutely, and look, we're always here to, and certainly my stance on it, I'm here to, you know, help any business along. So if you do want to get in contact, I'm on LinkedIn, you know, send me a message. I do post reasonably regularly on it. And yeah, it might be something interesting. Look, I don't think quality in construction is that big of a world. It's certainly nothing on the what health and safety is. And I think there's room there for, education and, you know, help. And certainly if I can help any businesses on their journey, don't be afraid to, drop me a wee message on LinkedIn and I'll reply.
Construct tuition. www.quality.co.uk, Lorna. Lorna, that's been tremendous, and that's been a great overview of quality and ISO standards and getting it right on site. So thanks so much for your time today. Really appreciate that, Lorna.
No problem at all. Thank you very much for having me. I look forward to listening to the rest of your podcasts in the future.
Oh, good. Thanks very much, Lorna. That's great.